It's showtime.
Cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, I mean, it's Monday to me. No, it's not. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, the 14th day of April, 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Just pick out a screen name and a password. If you've never done that before, jump right in, and you will be greeted by the early arrivers, Anatole, House of Roberts, Jimmy, Squeaky, and Will in Chicago. Meanwhile, I think Sparky is busy folding space to become Man Cave. He was Sparky a minute ago. I imagine he'll be back in a second as Man Cave. Yeah, hi, I'm Bob. And it is a new broadcast week, a day removed. Sorry about last night. I waited all day after the storms blew through, and we didn't get nearly as bad a dose of it as some did, so, you know, mercy. 20-plus people dead, storm paths 10 miles wide. Just a gentle reminder from this little mud ball that we live on that climate change is still a real thing, even in the midst of a pandemic. And it's going to be something to ponder coming up soon. Of course, you know, the gang of dead enders, hard cases, morons, Trumpanic intellects that are running this show for the time being. Probably it hasn't even dawned on them. But here's a question: how do you shelter in place in a tornado? How do you shelter in place in a massive, say, Cat 5 hurricane bearing down on some portion of the Gulf Coast or the Atlantic seaboard? Or, hey, here's one. How do you do that with two hurricanes? Or how about two hurricanes and a couple of earthquakes? Because, not to be alarmist or anything, those are all possibilities. Two hurricanes, an earthquake, and a massive forest fire. Two hurricanes, an earthquake, massive forest fire, and humongous spring flooding on the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. Because it's that time of year. And we're past Easter, so I guess that's a good thing. And we just now, well, you see how the information's being manipulated, right? Now we're talking about reopening the economy, even if that is crazier in the head than a hog is in the ass. Jesus. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And so thanks go out this evening to our 14th of the month subscribers. And so that would be thanks to Matt in San Francisco. Thanks to Ralphs. Thanks to Paul. Thanks yesterday to Gary and Gaia and Greg. Thank you to our anonymous friend for a have a show on me yesterday. Big thanks to Joan. Thank you, Joan, very kindly. Thank you to Gary in New York. Thank you to Paul. And thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown, to Tony and Chico. Thank you to Christopher. Thank you to Brother Deacon Gerald. And thank you to John. And we are all caught up right now, because I also have thanks for have a show on me to Stephen. Thank you, Stephen, very, very kindly indeed. That means that we're okay for this evening. That's huge. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you so very kindly for the have a show on me. That's how we'll manage to keep all of this going. Thank you so, so much. And that being the case, well, we'll just kind of go forward and see where the conversation takes us this evening. Oh, that's true. That's true. Stephen, New York, pointing out the wind from tornadoes. You have to be very careful you don't get the cancer from the winds from tornadoes. They're very much faster than the winds that wind turbines generate. And so if they're faster and stronger, then that must mean they're more cancery, you know, at least in the weird and twisted mind of Corona Caligula. Is shelter in place during a hurricane? Well, after the hurricane, you may say, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. Yeah. Where to begin? Sometimes I just look up and I marvel at the goddess of irony. Mighty are her powers. And I can be nothing more than her humble servant. How long ago was it that I started playing the Captain Queeg clip from the Caine Mutiny, where Humphrey Bogart is losing his shit on the witness stand and playing with those two steel balls? And yeah, I thought I was crazy, but I caught him. I caught him with the strawberries. All that silly shit. And then I get up this morning, and I didn't even have time to get my frayed purple robe on with the tattered appliqued moons and stars and the and Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark Baby written in glow-in-the-dark paint across the front before it happened again. There he was. Nitwit Nero, tweeting about a movie he's never seen, I guarantee it. Warning the governors of the United States against mutiny and talking about how much he likes Mutiny on the Bounty. Which version, dickhead? I mean, are we talking about the Anthony Hopkins, Mel Gibson version, or the Charles Laughton version with Clark Gable? But no, the fact of the matter is, he wasn't thinking about Mutiny on the Bounty at all. It was the Caine Mutiny. And apparently the rest of the world realized it, too. Oh, God. Yeah. Yes, yes, she is. Stephen, New York says, ain't God is good? Ain't God is good? Yes, yes, she is. Hallelujah. And so, you know, there we were, out in front of it all again. I'm telling you, we're getting closer and closer and closer. After last night's what do you call it? I mean, fit is too mild a term. Conniption, hissy. Those work. But I'm telling you, we are growing closer every day to that point in time where he's standing there in the White House press briefing room, or perhaps out on the lawn, or out near the Marine One helicopter pad, and just begins to remove his clothing and play with himself. We are getting so close. And it's not like, I mean, when it happens, though, I'd appreciate a little bit of recognition. Just, hey, Bob, don't know how you do it, but you did it. You saw it coming. That's all. That's all. Yeah, okay, that's a good word, too. Steve in New York says, I like breakdown. Because it did. And what they're doing, and I don't know if it's conscious, but what they're doing is it's a term that was coined here on the program, not by me. They're stoking the stroke. He's either going to start playing with himself or just and freeze up. You remember the hateful white horse in Animal House? And when the starter gun goes bang, the horse goes and freezes up and that. It's becoming more and more likely. But that was some chilling shit last night. And this does kind of go... to the fact that I know you all send me the hate mail and the, oh, Bob, turn it off and all of that. But there's a reason for watching this stuff, because when he does make like the white horse in Animal House, I want to see it live. Because I don't want to run the risk that anybody's manipulated it. And the only way to do it is to see it live. You predicted it, says Flavio up in far Wisconsin. Proud of you and the Wisconsinites, Flavio. That was some damn fine work people did going out to beat the piss out of that right-wing POS judge and install a decent human being in his place. But as Flavio says, you predicted it. I heard it here first. That was an epic meltdown. What is there left for him to do? I'm telling you. The next stop is him removing his clothes and beginning to play with himself. We're closer than you think. If you want... Okay, so it's not Wednesday and we're not doing that stuff. But just to give you a clue... You remember the clip we use on Wednesdays?
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
That. Because that's a scene from a film that Agnes and I just absolutely love. It's called Dream Team. Michael Keaton, Peter Boyle. Who else? Anyway. And Peter Boyle plays a character who has had a nervous breakdown and they get loose. And because he has a delusion of being Jesus, remember when Donald Trump said not that long back that he was the chosen one? Same thing. And if you go and you rent that movie or watch that movie somehow, you'll see the scene where that comes from. In which, somewhere in New York City, Peter Boyle, with his neurosis and his general clinical insanity, wanders into a church and begins to testify. And pretty soon, he's testifying stark naked. And that's about the time that you hear the line about, stop! This man is clinically insane. Yeah. It'll be something like that, maybe. I'm hedging my bets with the maybe there.
Jack in Shreveport says, Trump extra cray.
Ah, there's some Trump making extra cray.
I could have sworn I saw a little glitch when he downshifted into a little into a new level of insanity. Yeah, if you can't find them, grind them, Donnie. You, Brother Deacon, Asa with a deep and abiding philosophical question. So when the time comes and he takes his clothes off and starts playing with himself, do you think he has a conversation with little Donnie as he does it? And Brother Deacon Asa adds, dinner, meet demise. Yep, that's it. That's a hell of a thing that you do, too, Brother Deacon. I mean, it's dinner hour here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, and you got a good 3 hours to wait yet. You'll be over it by then. Oh, just you wait. I'll find something extra fun for the third hour of the program. I will. Well, yeah, he did. He did. Flavio asking, didn't Jim Morrison do that in Paris, drop trow and start playing with himself, saying, this is for my fans? Was it, yeah. Then there was something, or was that Lenny Bruce in Miami? I don't know. It all runs together after a while. Lee in New York says, mutiny? It was the John McCain mutiny that Captain Crunchberry will never forget or forgive. Wait. Where do they get these wonderful names? By the way, we've got a new name. Agnes and I were rewatching Dune the other night. And do you remember the name of... Because Frank Herbert really did have a vision. And so it's kind of weird how the book, and, you know, they got some of it into the movie, has all of these Muslim and Arabic overtones. And so what is the name of the emperor at the time of the rise of Paul Atreides? That's right. He's the Emperor Saddam the Fourth. Isn't he the Fourth? Saddam. Yeah, they say Shaddam, but same. Dialect thing, probably. And so it occurred to me that the guy in the White House now could be referred to as Emperor So Dumb the First. I get it. See what I did there? So dumb. So, it, right? Yeah. Okay. Brother Deacon Asa wants the other side of my bet. With all due deference to your clairvoyance, Brother Bob, I'm willing to take the other side of that bet. They'll cut the video feed long before he gets past his... past his Finch. I see, but it's a pool feed. It may not even actually have camera people. They'll have to catch up to it. See how that, yeah. I get that. But it was the damnedest thing. And all of... I loved it, studying it in high school and college, the ancient history, Roman history, Greek history. It's just, I don't know, there's a portion of my brain that, you know, just digs it. That long view sense of perspective, nothing new under the sun and all of that. But I never in a million years dreamt that there would be a time when I would be watching the United States devolve into a desire for dictatorship. Emphasis on the word dick.
You dick!
Right. But here we are. Because he declared yesterday that his word is law. Now, he didn't say it quite that elegantly because, well, he's Donald Trump and he has the vocabulary of a third grader. and they were all kind of mumbling past it on the news programs this morning, my filthy morning habit and all of that. Latin does come in handy, as I'm sure Flavio can tell you. You know, when you learn Latin verbs, you learn four parts of speech. You learn the first person singular active voice present tense. Then you learn the infinitive. Then you learn the first person active voice past tense. And then you learn the participial form. So, for instance, to like or to love. Amo, amare, amavi, amatum. But it was the third conjugation that I was concerned with this morning. Dico, dicere, dixi, dictum. That's the verb to speak. I'm sure somewhere along the way I've already screwed this up, but Flavio will have to forgive me. But we have to understand the power of that Latin word. Dico, I speak. Dicere, to speak. Dixi, I spoke. Dictum, speaking. And speech was important to the ancients. They talked out their issues. They debated. I think that probably comes from another Latin word, too. Debeo, ought, need. A debate is a discussion of things you ought to do or things that ought to be done. I'm being fact-checked on the fly by Flavio. I know it. And so in the ancient world, when shit got really bad, when the mechanisms of government had so utterly failed that the ordinary mechanisms of speech and debate were no longer adequate to the moment, when a strong and single voice was needed to save, in Greece, the polis, in Rome, the republic. Well, since we're talking about Latin, we'll deal with the Roman Republican version. They had done it a few times. Shit got so real that they said, fuck all this. We're going to turn it over to one guy. And the one guy was referred to simply as the dictator. It did not always have the pejorative import that we assign to it. For the Roman Republic to declare a dictator was a recognition that things were bad and that hopefully one really smart guy for a fixed period of time would come in, right the ship of state, and then go away. And it happened on a few occasions. And then along came Sulla. And it got really bloody. And young Gaius Julius Caesar managed to evade the proscriptions in which there was literally a price put on people's head and their family fortunes escheated to the pockets of the dictator or the triumvirs. which made proscribing rather of a capitalist affair. And Caesar got past that by the intervention of his mother, who had been friends with Sulla. And he is famously said to have remarked, "I will spare this young man, but in him I see many Mariuses." Marius being the man he had deposed, who was losing his mind. He was in his 70s, Marius was. He had been brilliant in his younger years. He reformed the legions. He did something really clever and changed the nature of the Roman spear so that when the Roman legions threw their spears, the Gauls, because it was almost always the Gauls, sometimes the Numidians, occasionally the Palestinians and various and sundry and the Pontines, but so they couldn't pick the spears up and throw them back at the Romans. It was a breakable spearhead. It was genius. But Marius was said to have had a prophecy from an oracle telling him that he, unlike any other consul before him, would hold the consulship 7 times, which was simply unheard of within the structure of the Roman Republic. Well, thank you, Flavio. Flavio says you're doing fine, bravo. Come in, write the ship of state, and then go away, like Quincinatus. Yes, can we get a Quincinatus? Probably not. Closest we're going to get is Captain Kangaroo's Cincinnati Dancing Pig. By the way, Sparky lets me know the shit show will be back outside today. It hasn't started yet, but Sparky says that it'd be a great time for him to rip off his clothes. Billable Rick, by the way, says the horse in Animal House. Stop telling us, Bob. Bob, so it's the horse in Animal House, trooper, baby, trooper. Trump, or is Dougie Niedermeyer the hated ROTC drill instructor who got hit in his noggin with a golf ball, Trump? I have to know, Bob. And Bob, stop telling us where to hit our golf balls. You went a long way for that one, Rick, and I'll at least reward you with a little bit of a cowbell. Yes, and Quincinatus, when it was all over, went back and sat beneath his vines and tilled his fields, or something like that. George Washington was hailed as the new Quincinatus, because at the end of 2 terms in the presidency, he walked away, had enough, turned over power. It was a big deal. It's kind of still a big deal, if it happens again. But this idea of dictator, the one whose word will be law, and he was assisted in ancient Rome by a second in command who was called, for reasons of ancient Roman myth and tradition, the master of the horse. Don't blame me. And if you think something kinky out of that, and if it comes back to the trooper, the horse in Animal House, that's on y'all, not on me. But there, you get to Caesar, and Caesar is made unprecedentedly dictator for life. And Marcus Antonius is his master of the horse, and Marcus Antonius was not cut out for the job. There's a story that his master of the horse, Marcus Antonius, Mark Antony, tried to drive a chariot pulled by leopards. I think it was a team of leopards. Remember last week when we were talking about how the tigers at the Bronx Zoo got the Rona? And I said, would you like to have been the guy? No, go see if he's asleep yet. No, yeah, you'll be fine. Well, how about the poor bastard that had to try to put the traces on 4 leopards to drag Mark Antony's chariot? Because the thing is, when you get into a dictatorship, suddenly weird shit starts to happen. even if the dictator in person is good at it. And we certainly don't have that at this point in time. But he is, you know, he announced himself a dictator because Article 2 of the Constitution, and it's not the first time he said this, and when he said it earlier, all of his little maggots and supporters said, oh, well, you know, he didn't mean that. Because there is not, you know, and Dr. McCauley mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when I had him on the program. There's that statistical paradigm that says if you have infinite monkeys and infinite typewriters and infinite time, eventually one of them will write Hamlet. As far as I can tell, that's unassailably true. But the problem is the infinity part. You don't get the you don't go into the pandemic with the dictator you want. You go into the pandemic with the dictator you've got. Well, I wonder how that's all working out for old Donald Rumsfeld. Did he have any idea how much that could come back to bite him in the ass? And so here's what we got. Because what I was getting at with the infinite monkeys and the infinite time, if you had infinite Trumps and infinite constitutions and infinite time, at some point in time, one of the Donald Trumps would actually read the Constitution. But it's not, it's just not gonna be this one. No way. But somebody has muttered the words Article 2 at him, and he thinks that that gives him tremendous cosmic powers. And that's all he's really interested in. Well, there it is. Thank you, Ralphs. Serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department this evening, Ralphs sends me to a monument. The Triumphwagen des Mark Antony. Vienna, because I'm completely helpless against German propositions. Prepositions, not propositions, damn it. Yeah, see, yeah, there's that. I don't think it looked like that at all, Ralphs, because I don't think, no. But I thought it was leopards. Oh, well. But thanks, that helps, a little visual along the way. There's no way he's read Article 2 of the Constitution. And what's more, after, because I remember them, I lived through them. I remember the 8 years of that one in their White House. I remember how they couldn't go a half an hour or so much as a lunch period without some teabagger, birther, deather, ninther, tenther, bagger, bircher, booger eater.
Obama's a dictator. He's their messiah. And he's going to steal away all our freedoms and give us to the UN and take away all our golf courses. And they're going to come pouring across the dry part of the Rio Grande with their. What's the name of it? What's the name of it? The Blue Helmets. Blue Helmets!
And then some jackass would say, yeah, but he can't be dictator because 10th Amendment. Because the 10th Amendment is kind of a gigantic check on Article 2 as well as Article 1 and And it's another one of those simple little amendments that carries so much weight in so few words. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. And that means that Donald Trump cannot declare either the nation's economy or the Hunger Games, for that matter, open or closed. These 50 little petty kingdoms that form our nation still have a say-so, but this is going to prove to be really, really difficult for the Confederate states. Because, you know, for oh so many years, probably more than 150. I mean, in 1863, Lincoln was saying 87 years ago, so that's 87 years. And it's 187 years. Every time that somebody spoke up and said, you know, this whole slavery thing's not working out. It's not a good idea. It's brutal. It's hateful. And the southern states pulled out their pistols, pistol whipped a few Yankees, and yelled, "States' rights, motherfucker! States' rights!" And they even got to the point where they were shooting at people with artillery, yelling, "States' rights!" Well, here we are. We have two coalitions of states, California, Oregon, and Washington, and then the Northeast Corridor, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware? Is Delaware in it yet? New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine haven't gotten on board yet. But they're going to coordinate with each other as to when they open the economy. And as frustrated and bored out of our fucking minds as we are, those of us who are participating in the program this evening, and people who don't even hear the program or know it exists, but are still alive, have a vested interest in not getting too froggy about reopening the economy. But according to, and do you see now why I've given him all of these Roman emperor nicknames for all these years? Nitwit Nero, Corona Caligula, Chlamydia Claudius, on and on and on. Julius Caesar, Caesar Disgustus, Tangerine Tiberius, Viral Vespasian, Venereal Vitellius. Galba and Otho have proven to be a little difficult. Gabby Galba, Master of the Horse, as opposed to COVID Caligula, Master of the Horse Shit. Precisely, Brother Deacon Asa, you are working within the spirit of the times. Lou, we'll probably have to take that one up on June the 20th. That's West Virginia Day when we talk about whether or not it was proper for the state of West Virginia to be created. The argument being that, yeah, it was strictly legal because West Virginia was trying to do the legal thing while Virginia was doing the illegal thing. But it was a complicated time. So he has declared himself dictator. He alone can open the economy of New York and New Jersey, etc. Big pushback today, which led to the mutiny on the bounty tweet. Yeah. But like I said, it's going to be a problem for the southern governors because they're very jealous of their state's rights. Always have been. And so they're going to be hard-pressed to tell the northeastern states and the western states, the Pacific Rim states, that they can't exercise states' rights to determine when it will be safe for the citizenry to re-engage in economic activity. Otherwise, it'll make hypocrites out of them. But then again, if you're the governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey, said by her Republican opponents to be a hopeless alcoholic, Democrats didn't say that, Republicans did. Well, being a hypocrite comes easy. Because on the one hand, you can sign the bill that restricts a woman's right to control the workings of her own reproductive organs. At the same time, and say that Alabama has a culture of life. At the same time that you're signing a death warrant for some black dude who may not have even committed the crime he was convicted of committing. And your head doesn't explode or a lightning bolt doesn't come out of the sky and turn you into a little greasy spot or nothing. Hypocrisy is easy. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Bob, please explain. Earlier today, I heard that your favorite governor, he uses the term loosely, Florida's illegitimate governor, illegitimate white supremacist adjacent governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis has declared that, yes, and this is not a joke, I was telling a friend earlier about this, and he's like, no, Bob, you got that off the Onion, right? Nope! Yes, Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis has declared that they're in the sunny state of Florida, wrestling is a essential business. Ron ponders, I couldn't quite wrap my head around that. Could it have to do with Trump's relationship with Vince McMahon and Linda? If that's an essential business, what isn't? That's true, too. They would occasionally chuck their spears at Celts. Although Celts were kind of Gallic. I think they fell under the broad general heading of Gauls. I mean, when you're talking about Europe and the end of the first century BCE, pretty much Gauls were Celts and Celts were Gauls, and most of what you were worrying about north of the Italian peninsula was either Gauls or Germans. But yes, there were some spear. Yes. Okay, GK, that works for me. Galumphing Galba. Because we have been referring to him galumphing lately. As for the monkeys, Steve in New York says, actually, Bob, under the scenario you described, you get an infinite number of monkeys typing Shakespeare. Yeah, but one of them's going to type Hamlet. And that's the whole point. Steve adds, I'm thinking yesterday he really grew into being the orangutan. Yeah, maybe we could find Van Jones to say something to that effect. My, he certainly was orangutan-like today, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, okay, a reminder. I don't know how I let that get past me. Steve pointing out, Article 2, it's Article 2 as in 2 Corinthians. I've started something with the infinite monkeys. Lee in New York says, subject line, Hamlet, if you have infinite monkeys at infinite keyboards, you will not get Hamlet. Damn you, autocorrect! True. That's subtle, but really quality. So anyway, inside the ancient history part of this comparison, once he was declared dictator for life, the people who hated Julius Caesar started doing things to make it look like he was setting himself up to be a king. Because the Romans despised the idea of kingship above all other political entities. There had been a period of Roman kings. The Republic was born out of the desire to not have kings anymore. And in not having kings, they were kind of they too, like Washington, stepping down after two terms as president. It was the exception rather than the rule to not have a king. And so you get people showing up, offering Caesar a crown and offering him, again, because of tradition, purple boots. Purple boots. And whether it was done for purposes of bolstering what they were going to do anyway, or whether they looked at it, or whether the conspirators who would kill Caesar eventually looked up and said, I see what they're doing. They're offering him boots. He's going to be a king day after tomorrow, to mark my words. And you wind up with that little get-together in the Temple of Venus Victrix back behind the Theater of Pompey over in the Torre Argentina area of Rome. Something I still desperately wish to see. Well, I've still got the stamina to do it. Take that morning walk from the Domus Publica in the Forum and walk all the way over out onto what was the Campus Martius to where the temple was, and maybe have dinner down in the cellars of the Theater of Pompey, because you can do that. Another time. But all of this, and by the time they were offering him the crown and the boots and stuff, he was already dictator. And I guess theoretically he was going to leave Mark Antony in charge while he marched off to Parthia to settle the score with them for what they had done to his greedy old friend Marcus Licinius Crassus. The king of the Parthians, because he was the richest man in the world, Crassus was. He might have been so rich that he would put current rich men to shame. I mean, there was that much gold. Richer than Jeff Bezos is now. Richer than any filthy little Saudi princeling or no. And the Parthian king said, we have heard of your legendary desire for gold, and we are going to give you all of it you may ever want. And they brought a crucible in of molten gold, and they held him down, Marcus Licinius Crassus, and they poured molten gold down his throat. And this did not sit well with Julius Caesar because, among other things, Marcus Licinius Crassus had been his financial backer when he was just a poor but ambitious member of the populares. Because back then, you had Republicans and Democrats, only their names were the Republicans that we would... The rich people, the people with more dollars than cents, they called themselves the optimates, the best of the best of the best, sir. And Caesar's faction, the folks who had to worry every day about bread and shelter, well, they called themselves the populares, the people. And that's your basic Democrats and Republicans today. And so what Nitwit Nero did differs from all of this in that the dictatorship was actually given to Caesar. Gaius Julius Caesar made a big deal out of, yeah, no, I really don't want this, you know. Got a lot of things to do. I was hoping to retire sometime. No, oh, really? Me? Whereas there has been no such overt act, unless you count, like, February the 6th, 2020, when a gang of Republicans acquitted him, even though they said in a bill of impeachment and two counts, even though they all agreed he had done the things he was charged with having done. Because that's one of the new talking points, you know.
Why have they been so damn busy impeaching Donald Trump?
Precious Lindsay was there. And at my word, on February 6th, when we acquitted the president, the Democrats still wanted to be calling witnesses in the middle of a pandemic. Oh, somebody fetch me a Darvon and a margarita, please. I'll be under the fainting couch. I can hardly countenance to even think about it. Help me, John.
But there is no John. Long gone is John. But yeah, he did. He said that. Never mind. And that was the crux of what got to Corona Caligula yesterday. Because a woman named Paula Reed, sitting there in the press briefing room, asked him, well, what did you do with your February? You say you bought time with your Chinese travel ban that really didn't ban much of anything. What did you do with February? And he didn't have an answer.
You're nasty. You're fake. You're fake is what you are. You're fake.
I actually, watching that last night, I wondered if he even knows what the word fake means. Because everything she said was true. He did waste February. He glumped and he golfed and he golfed and glumped and he went to massive maggot rally gatherings. And he went to fundraisers and he went to Las Vegas for a while and he went to India. And he went to Mar-a-Lago. Glad-handed with some people who already were carrying the disease. And so there was nothing left for him to do but to fall back on his original training, and that was to bellow like a carnival barker, or more particularly and accurately, like a villain in a wrestling piece. We watched him come completely undone last night, and it was just sad and weird and terrifying. And then I wake up this morning to the Kane Mutiny tweet. We've got our 694th positive COVID case here in West Virginia. We have had 10 deaths, and the greatest horror of all is that it was announced today that it has gotten loose in a nursing home in Wayne County, which is down on the southwestern border, across the river from Kentucky, Big Sandy. We have 17, and you want to talk about testing? We have, in West Virginia, we have 17,224 laboratory results out of a state of 1.7 million. Anybody in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department want to tell me what percentage of the population that is? The West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources admits that these numbers are deeply flawed and delayed. Maybe as much as 2 weeks. My county still has two confirmed cases, but if you run the numbers, that probably means, what, there are 200? Berkeley County over in the eastern panhandle nearest to Washington, D.C. has 99. Down in Beckley, which is in Raleigh County, they've got 6. And down in Wayne County, where it's gotten loose in the nursing home, some of the folks who work there actually live across the river, either in Ohio or Kentucky. So their results won't even necessarily be counted with our own. And we're learning a little bit more about how it got around. And how and what an irony, if that's the word. One of the one super spreader has been identified. A super spreader being an organization or a group that didn't just create community transmission, but did so with, I don't know, extreme prejudice. There was a double secret probation healthcare conference in Boston on the first Monday in March. It was for a company called Biogen. And one, Michel Vounatsos, who is the CEO of Biogen, was all excited because he was going to announce some big profit-making news with regard to a drug that they'd been working on for years to treat Alzheimer's disease. Someone, a reporter of some sort, even asked Mr. Vounatsos whether he thought that the big news about their Alzheimer's drug would be affected by the coronavirus that was burning up China at the time. And what was Michel Vounatsos' answer? So far, so good. Here's the problem. Even as he was saying so far, so good, the Rona was already running wild among his executive class. And they had no idea that they'd been exposed. But they got exposed at the annual leadership meeting that corporations like to have. It's a leadership meeting. We're going to learn some leadership principles. Well, this is not an intergalactic kegger. And so Biogen's executive class, then having been exposed to coronavirus, got on planes and flew back home all over the place. They took it to the District of Columbia. They took it to 3 foreign countries. They took it to, from Massachusetts to Indiana to Tennessee, Stan, and North Carolina, Stan. And all of those planes were chock full of other people. And now, epidemiologists are referring to that as a super spreading event. John Carroll, editor of Endpoints News, which covers the biotech industry, told the New York Times, "The smartest people in healthcare and drug development, and they were completely oblivious to the biggest thing that was about to shatter their world." And so as far as they can tell, There were 99 Biogen people who got the Rona. At least in Massachusetts alone. When Talibandiana got its first two cases, they were two cases who got it from a Biogen employee. Check that. Not a Biogen employee, a Biogen executive. Six of the earliest cases in North Carolina came from a Biogen executive, so did the first case in Tennessee.
You see, they'd already paid for the space for their leadership conference, and they weren't going to cancel it and do it on fucking Zoom or something like that.
Mr. Michel Vounatsos now says, for a company whose mission is to save lives, it was very difficult to see our colleagues and community directly affected by this disease. We would never have knowingly put anyone at risk. Yeah, see, it's that knowingly part. It's not knowingly, it's knew or should have known, Buster. They've done good work. They've done important work in drugs to treat multiple sclerosis. There was high hopes for what they were doing relative to Alzheimer's. And so they were there they were, February 26th and 27th. And if the news was as good as they thought, oh, my goodness, they visions of skyrocketing stock prices danced in their heads. So the first night they were there, February 26th, they had a buffet dinner. There were 175 executives who sat down for a buffet at the Marriott Long Wharf overlooking Boston Harbor. And they had a buffet dinner and they had cocktails. And they glad-handed and they slapped backs and they shook hands and probably air-kissed at each other. Meanwhile, researchers from MIT have done modeling that shows that a breath can carry a coronavirus particle 16 feet. Oh, they were smollicking all over each other and LARPing on one another. And then they went home to Europe, to North Carolina, to Tennessee, to Talibandiana. New Jersey, Princeton, where one of the vice presidents had went to a party with about 45 other people to celebrate a religious festival on the Greek Orthodox calendar. Those celebrations, incidentally, according to the New York Times report, had been canceled in Greece because of the onslaught of the plague. But they went forward in New Jersey. Opa! Because the Trump administration had said they had it completely under control. You remember when Larry Kudlow said it was completely under control? You remember when Nero said,
well, there's like 15 people who have it, and soon it'll be 5, and it'll be 0.
And then on March 2nd, the chief medical officer sent around a note saying, hey, y'all,
We may be the corporate equivalent of Typhoid Mary, y'all. I know, wrong accent. But if y'all ain't feeling too good, you might want to go to the doctor. And, well, see if you can find out what you got. Also on March 2nd, well, four top executives from Biogen went swanning around a gigantic health care conference that was hosted by an investment firm named Cowen. Oh, and there were many swells there. They shook hands. They slapped backs. They tousled each other's hair in the executive fashion, don't you understand? And then they went and swanned around with potential investors. Yeah. Knew or should have known. I mean, for fuck's sake. You're a pharmaceutical firm. Jack in Shreveport says, Biogen? It's okay, though, because all the executives had good health plans, and don't tell anyone, but somehow they were all able to get tested. I don't know if any of that's true, but it would be a decent bet if the tests were available somewhere to be clawed into. And I love this paragraph in the New York Times story. I have to use it with my New York Times voice. On that same day, a Biogen executive visited the Washington Office of Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, PHRMA, P-H-R-M-A, the industry's top lobbying group. Soon after that, the executive tested positive, prompting the group to close its headquarters for deep cleaning. So yeah, they got access to a test somehow, Jack. It's a mystery. The next few weeks, this is precious, the next few weeks turned into a blur of Biogen employees leaving casseroles on one another's doorsteps and trading news about who had fallen ill. Dr. Bergathon infected his wife, the infectious disease specialist. While their symptoms were manageable, the scariest part was the uncertainty. Dr. Bergathon recalled recently at a virtual event hosted by the University of Rochester. We didn't know we were going to recover, he said. We didn't know what was coming next. And then there's a photographer, Miss Taranto, T-A-R-A-N-T-O. She was there to take pictures of the Biogen leadership. And so she got the Rona and took it home to a friend of hers and gave it to her for her birthday. Oh, it's a lengthy article. They deep dove. And then the penultimate paragraph of the piece says, Biogen has since joined the fight against the virus. The company donated $10 million to expand access to testing and to provide emergency food and protective gear for hospital workers. And we're seeing a lot of this millionaire gave that or this billionaire gave that. And it's okay because I guess it's needed right now. But just how about a different way to think about all of this? How about if the billionaires had less money and the government had more of it, and we didn't have to wait on the largesse of the billionaire class to realize that it was, well, it looks like it's time for me to work up a healthy little tax write-off, don't you think, Muffy? How about if SNAP benefits were sufficient to buy meat, lots of meat, so that people on SNAP could really eat lots of meat and thereby support, I don't know, the meat industry and the farmers who feed and produce the meat?
I know. Crazy talk. Crazy talk. I mean, we can't have those pores out there eating all that food. Dairy farmers are dumping milk. They can't move it. In South Dakota, remember how we talked about South Dakota being the last state in the union that was still red on that COVIDActNow.org map because they had not done dick to contain or mitigate? Well, they still haven't. But there's a huge Smithfield meat processing plant in South Dakota, and it's shut down. Because everybody got sick. Then there's the chicken processing plant in Alabama, where, and all of these are jobs where you work shoulder to shoulder, knives and blades a flashing. Brutal job. Hateful job. And often jobs that are taken by the people that Nitwit Nero says
come here to take our jobs.
That, curiously enough, there's not a line out in front of these meatpacking houses every day of people wanting to do the bloody business of producing meat for a country that likes to eat meat. No, chicken plant in Alabama. The chicken plant, the workers had to pay the company for their own masks. Oh, and up in South Dakota, as the union pointed out, and I think it was UFCW, at the same time that the company was saying, listen, if you're sick, stay home, don't come to work, you will not be punished for that. At the same time they were saying that, they are also saying, hey, $500 bonus to anybody who doesn't have an absence in March or February or whatever it was. And thereby made sure that the plague got a real good foothold. And South Dakota is still doing nothing. Or next to nothing. And then I mentioned him a few minutes ago, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Lindsay, precious Lindsay, well, precious Lindsay has declared that his home state of South Carolina stand, and other states as well, is just chock-a-block with layabouts. Yes. He doesn't like this money that the people who ain't got jobs is a getting. You might want to fetch the hockey puck and the duct tape for this, because it might make you bark. The way his mind allegedly works. Let's see if I got it here.
Well, where's the truth lie? Well, number one, Mr. President, the American people understand what you've done for them, and this effort to destroy Trump, no matter the cost to the country, is getting a bit old. And it's
Who's trying to destroy Trump, no matter the cost to the country? Last I checked, you've got some governors doing a good job with their states and other governors, not so much. But one always has to offer one's opening, fawning obeisance to the God Emperor.
Pissing a lot of people off. The president made four really important decisions to save American lives. Number one, he shut down travel to China and...
Yeah, okay, so no, that really didn't happen.
the so-called China travel ban.
It was total. It was awesome. It was a perfect travel ban, just like the call was perfect.
Uh-uh. It was a Swiss cheese. And you had people going back and forth from China, almost with as if there was no ban in place at all.
Europe, in a way to keep hundreds of thousands of people from being affected. He declared a national emergency to give the country the tools to fight back.
And yet didn't use them.
That was a major decision. He rejected the herd mentality of letting it run rampant through the country. People build up immunity. A couple million people would have died if that had been the case. And finally, I think the most important thing the president has done is unleash the private sector in testing and trying to develop drugs by giving FDA waivers for therapies and vaccines to speed up the process. So I think the
another country ended its hydroxychloroquine study because they killed 11 people with the shit.
President has made really hard calls well, and we're going to be well below the 100,000 minimum expected, and it's due to his leadership and the American people working together.
Jesus Christ, that's going to be the rallying cry now.
I only killed 30,000 people.
Holy shit.
What do you think about that timeline? I've never seen a briefing.
Oh, shut up. Because there's one more. There's another. Because he is worried. Lindsay's worried. And he's worried about the layabout, no account, do nothings.
In a national emergency so we could take the full resources of the federal government and put them into play here and waiving a lot of rules and regulations so that we can get vaccines and drug therapies hopefully by this fall or late summer. So we'll have an election over all this. But you've got to remember the Democratic Party on February the 6th was asking the Senate to stay in session to get more witnesses.
No, not more witnesses, dumbass. Some witnesses. You didn't call any witnesses, Lindsay. You toe-sucking, lick-spittle, boot-lapping sycophant. You didn't call any witnesses. And maybe, just maybe, if there'd been any witnesses, we wouldn't be where we are now, because the guy who says he's our dictator wouldn't be in office.
These are the people who are criticizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. You know, Senator, after the presidential directive about people stay at home for the pretty much the entire month of April, there are now millions of people right. who are out of work. They're trying to file for unemployment insurance through their states. I was talking to the Kansas State Secretary of Labor, and she and her team explained to me that normally in a week, Kansas might process 1,300 unemployment claims. Now it's 55,000 a week, and they've had to quadruple the call center, and you know they're trying to get it on the website. But people,
well, at least they're doing that, because Florida's not even doing that. Florida's unemployment system has completely collapsed because it was designed to keep Florida's employment numbers up so the Republicans would look like they were doing a good job when they were actually doing the same rotten, tawdry, lousy, miserable, incompetent shit that they always do.
People have been trying for weeks and they still haven't been able to file for unemployment, and I know that is one of your main concerns.
Yeah, and so
well, I am terribly concerned about them unemployments laying around there not doing nothing, just sucking up free money. No, wait, you think I'm kidding?
South Carolina, we had a 4,100% increase in unemployment claims. 85,000 last week, and a normal week is about 2,000. Our unemployment system is working pretty well here. We've got major problems like everybody else with the volume, but we've processed 180,000 claims. The small business loan program that...
Here it comes. Get the hockey puck.
you talked about earlier in the show is designed to keep small businesses from going bankrupt while we're in mitigation, and it's designed to keep their employees on the payroll. Here's the problem. The unemployment benefits in South Carolina are $23 an hour to be unemployed. You've got a lot of small businesses trying to keep their people on the payroll, paying $16 and $17 an hour. One program is undercutting the other, and we've got to get that fixed.
That's right. We got to take that $7 away from them layabout unemployed and so that they'll be equal to the people who, or maybe we should take 8 or 9 away from them. My goodness gracious, where am I smelling salts? Just laying around, playing video games, drinking mint juleps and eating Darvons like M&Ms. Oh, wait a minute, that's me. Mercy.
Now, the thing is, I want to know who the small businesses are in South Carolina, Stan, a right to fucking work state that are drawing. I want to know who the workers are that are getting $16 an hour. Because it ain't no $16 an hour at fucking McDonald's. Ain't no $16 an hour workers at Popeyes or Bojangles. Ain't $16 an hour at Home Damn Depot. Walmart. Oh, no. Precious Lindsay has some friends. Now, he doesn't really want to take him $7 away from them unemployed. He wants to give them some of them small businesses. He wants to give them a little bit more money. Because you know who are small businesses? Hedge funds. Hedge funds are very small businesses. Yes, they are. Tiny. Mm-hmm. And there's some defense contractors out there. They small businesses, too. Yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah, Stephen, New York says, next thing you know, they'll be buying crab legs. No, they're already doing that in Texas.
Steve adds, I think the proposition you were looking for, Ms. Lindsay, was to the American people. To the American people. Darlene says, aside from the fact that Lindsay has completely abdicated his job as a check on the executive branch, unless it's a Democratic administration, I'm detecting a high level of stress and panic in his tone. I'm sorry, Darlene, I don't mean to be reading you in South Carolina ease. He's freaked out. He sure as fuck knows this is a bad situation with the pandemic and that Trump is fucking this shit up. Oh, that bitch is scared. I can hear it. He's desperate to deflect onto the poors.
Well, what do you reckon in the world they are there for, Darlene? I mean, if they weren't the poors, they would be our betters. And they are definitely not our betters. Mm-mm. Not at all.
I just wanted to make sure that I made clear that Lindsay's heart is in the right place. Sure. Let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Okay, Todd.
Yeah, I'd far rather talk to you than listen to that babbling orangutan.
Oh, he's on again.
I don't know if it started yet. I haven't had a message back from Sparky, but yeah, he should have been on for about the last almost hour by now, I guess.
Well, yesterday or the past couple of performances were impeachable material, ask me, but okay.
I got an update from Sparky. Yes, he's going again. He's talking about cutting funding to the World Health Organization, and he blames them for helping spread the virus.
See, I can't keep up. I simply cannot keep up. That's a whole program right there, those two sentences.
Yes.
Because, look at outcomes, efficacy and outcomes. All right, look at South Korea. They use the WHO test, WHO. They get on top of things quickly.
Yeah.
But Mr.
But he couldn't figure out a way to make a buck out of the WHO test.
It appeared that way when you understand this organism and how they operate. Okay, let me slow down because I'll get too upset.
Don't get upset.
Thank you for bringing back. I'm breathing.
Letting go now. Letting go now. Yes.
Very nice. Oh, that's much better. Okay. Thank you for bringing back Spicoli. He has his place.
Yeah, he does.
And, okay, the Gen, whatever, that corporation.
Biogen.
You know, many of us understand that jargon. What that is a junket. That's just an excuse to get away from home and drink as much and do whatever
you can
do.
It's a party. I'm sure there were hookers.
It's a party. That's what that's all. I mean, that's really, come on, that's what that is. You know, for the per diem crowd, the expense account crowd, you know, I remember those days. That's all that shit is. You know, and they have to do a certain amount of business. I don't even know if you're private, you can really get away with anything. You just write it off. But then that's an interesting.
Oh, that's
story.
Breaking news. Trump halts funding to World Health Organization. That fucker.
Okay. See, it's narrowing down to the marrow of what I want to get to, but. And then you mentioned SNAP, and I would encourage, there are a couple, you know, there are a couple constants in our country that have been, you know, a pattern for decades now. The first one is that we are consistently like number 35 or 36 in healthcare outcomes. This was way back when I was in school, you know, CIA World Book. We had to buy this book for class. And one of the major measures is infant mortality. I mean, that carries a lot of weight, and that's how they do it. You know, certain questions or certain measures are weighted. But so that shit hadn't changed because it came out in the paper not long ago, a few weeks ago. And I said, I'll be damned. I remember that from school. And so somehow we're under this illusion we have the best health care when we really don't. A few of us might have really good health care, but we just don't anymore. We're living in an illusion. America is an illusion now. And that's just one, you know, one marker of that.
Hang on, that's a cowbell.
What?
America is an illusion now.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob. And
see, I mean, there is great health care out there. My dear friend, Dan Fisher, has been on this program to talk about the amazing care that he got when he needed a new heart. That's still a big mm-hmm. deal, a heart transplant, okay? Still a big deal. And
that was your friend who went through it and was talking about the you know, the immune drugs he had to take.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we've been buddies since college.
Okay, I remember those shows, yes.
And so he is a member of a union, and so he's got good health care. But even though he's got good health care, didn't cover everything. It did not cover everything. But there is good health care to be had in this country. But most of it is not going to be had by most of the people. One of the greatest threats, one of the greatest raging threats in the country today is what happens if these Confederate governors fuck up and open prematurely. Because there is not a state in the Deep South that can handle a full-on outbreak.
No. No.
You know, you got hospitals closing. You got counties without hospitals. The hospitals you do have might have 19 beds.
That's it.
Two vents, three vents.
Okay, we're back to the illusion. The building is
right
there, but then most of it is closed up. They have the whole wings are shut down. This is a pattern. We're not just talking off the top of our heads here. We understand this trend here, which is past the trend now. This is the new normal. And what has taken its place, that starts with a U, right? Urgent what?
Yeah, urgent care. Otherwise known as Doc in a Box.
Doc in a Box. That's what we're left with. So that we're in a county seat, and you know we used to have at least a credible hospital, and you know I've been told by people, the insiders, and you know I know some of the doctors, they know my family, and they're like, if you get really sick, don't come here. I never thought it was that clean in the first place, but you don't want it. This, and by the way, this is the worst time. People have a lot of time on their hands, and I know, like me, this is a good time to fix up the house. I mean, I'm still going to work, but you know things are different. You can't socialize too much, but be careful. Be hyper careful because you do not want to get hurt and have to go to the hospital right through here with an open wound. I guess that's common sense, but. Yeah. Okay. So to the healthcare, and this is just, you know, okay. Once again, I'm going to breathe. I'm not going to whine. All right. You look at your health bill. I pay out of pocket. I don't have health insurance. And what it costs, in other words, this cannot go on the way it is. So when people say we can't afford to, you know, cover everyone, if you look at the rise in health care every year, we can't afford not to. And then when you compound it with the fact that this is not the only pandemic we're going to face now, this could be the new normal.
Well, see, that's one thing. That's one thing that needs to be discussed is, Todd, a lot of people think, well, you know, all we got to do, and I saw the head of the CDC talking about this earlier today. All we got to do is, I mean, we got to keep the deaths down. We got to keep the disease spread down, and we got to buy ourselves time until we can get a vaccine. Do you remember Dr. McCauley saying when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago? The problem with coronaviruses is that there's an old saying: you never get the same cold twice.
Exactly.
We may come up with a vaccine for it, but by the time it rolls back around, that vaccine may not work against it.
No. That's what it does.
I mean, people need to... I'm not saying that we don't have smart scientists and stuff like that, but even with the flu vaccine, every year a decision is made as to what flu vaccine, based on available data, they think, or what flu virus is going to be the problem. 2 years ago, they blew it. Last year, maybe not so much.
Oh. Okay. But what you're involved in right now, it's just fact.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
It's a crapshoot. It's better than crap.
That's the flu vaccine, and they've been doing it for a while. This will be the first attempt to create a vaccine out of this virus, and this virus may... God, you get my point.
I do, and see, it frightens you till you're not even putting this last card on the table, or you put the knowledge on the table about the flu that we know of, the regular flu. But because it's a virus, that's why we're using that as an analogy.
Right.
Because
what,
this is
know,
not the flu.
They know this better than we do, Todd.
Human beings don't have any immunity to this. That's why I call it novel. And that's crazy.
It's
that
brand
is
new.
Really that takes word out of space now.
Yeah, it's not
brand
novel
new.
Because it's not just words. It's not novel because it's as thick as War and Peace. It's novel because it's new. And
I'm glad you made me laugh because it's frightening.
What you need is a number of different things, and part of the reason for looking at things like hydroxychloroquine, which apparently will kill you fucking dead. And even one of the people, I was reading one of the people who survived using it, and apparently it made her some better, but she doesn't really know because there was no way to compare. She said during the whole time she was on it, she was nauseated and had vertigo and felt like shit. And that's the people it doesn't kill.
Right.
So what you need, you know how we've got Tamiflu,
mm-hmm.
and you're supposed, and if you test positive for the flu, you're supposed to start taking it like day one,
mm-hmm.
and it will mitigate the effects of flu.
Well, that's right. There's some efficacy to that.
Well, right. So that's an antiviral,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a vaccine. It doesn't keep you from getting it. It helps you get over it.
Right. It's a palliative.
So. Now, it's beyond a palliative. A palliative just makes you feel
okay.
better. This will, Tamiflu will help you get rid of the flu.
Oh, you said it's antiviral, right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misspoke. I totally misspoke.
But we don't have that for this. We don't have anything for this.
No, we don't have anything for this.
And, meanwhile, Chris Cuomo is down in his basement losing, and he's being honest with people on the air. He's losing his shit.
Yep.
And he said there's psychological sequelae to this, neurological sequelae.
And see, this is why I think last time we talked, I was telling you where that I read that story, the blurb that they were at someone. Some researchers identified eight types of this COVID-19.
Yeah, eight variants.
And you had even reported some weeks earlier, there were three variants weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Two to three. But, so, I mean, just the nature
the thing
of this thing, and
the
because it's novel.
But the American people, Todd, are apparently, and I feel like I'm piling on, and I'm no better than anybody else, but we have been infantilized to the point that we cannot deal with hard truth. One of the things that they did this morning on my Filthy Morning Habit is they played a clip mm-hmm. of a speech by that dedicated old white supremacist Winston Churchill. And he is everything that history notes him to be. But he was effective against Adolf Hitler. And Scarborough got all dewy eyed and said, he wouldn't soft soap the British people. He told them, if we're going to lose this, we're going to lose this with blood in our mouths and no air in our bodies. We'll all fucking
right.
die before Germany beats us. But
right.
the American people can't be told that. You know, the Kansas legislature went after the governor for trying to close churches on Easter. That Rodney Howard Brown creep in Tampa used his Easter mega church thing to spread conspiracy theories. And the American people cannot just be told straight up, listen, this isn't over in May. This isn't over in June. I forget which state it was. Their peak numbers are in late August. And it's an East Coast state, I think. Their peak numbers are in late August. That means they have to keep flattening the curve through September. But we dare not ponder for a moment, Todd, that the precious NFL won't play, or that we won't have a baseball season, or that we won't have college football. Oh, Bula, Bula, heaven forfend. Now, I'm as big a college football fan as any there is, but I'm a bigger let's not kill a few million Americans fan.
Well, you know, this is the opportunity for the American advertising industry to do what they do best and convince people, you know, like they did in World War II, come out with positive propaganda to convince people that we have to keep doing what we're doing. We're just starting to get better at the people who are doing it, you know, the social distancing. and thinking, you know, you have to think about now. Every time you're going to interact with a lot of people, you really have to get to think twice.
Okay, so I want you to.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
I want you to give me the lay of the land, where you are.
All right, I'm glad you asked.
Because I got to figure, we all are no better at that than we are here.
All right, and I'm so glad you're so good at what you do. Yes. Okay. So, this is maggot territory. However, in the past 2.5 weeks, there's been a noticeable decrease in people out and about. But there's still clusters. People are still not maintaining their distance in stores. And then, of course, the stores. Let's get to the economy. Remember, and this goes back into our governor. This South Carolina economy over the since the 80s, I suppose, has really thrived on tourism. They've done a good job building the tourism industry. You know, we have Myrtle Beach and a lot of other places, blah, blah, blah. So if there's no tourism there, a lot of people are out of work. In the restaurants, you know, it's bad. Okay. But just until a few days ago, the adult industry establishments, they were still open. Strip clubs.
In South Carolina, Stan.
Until about a week ago. In South Carolina, I mean, that defies logic. But wait, there's more.
Well, no. Down in Florida, you know, goddamn it. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis just declared that the WWE is an essential business in Florida. I mean, if that don't beat cat fucking, I don't know what does.
Well, that's getting to the root of what I really wanted to ask you about. But so here, and the vaping stores, the smoke shops, they're open. That's not an essential business. They close the department stores. If you want to buy a nice, you can even buy a nice pair of shoes now, if you have to have them. I mean, you got to go online, I suppose. But you know, and there's stores like, thank God for Dollar General, because they're, you know, it's like a general store, so they're open. And if you live in rural America, that's your supermarket. Shit. I mean, thank God for Dollar General, man. I never thought I'd say that, but my God. You know, they are what they are. So, you know, that's us. And you know, the county I live in, this is where it started in this state. And I was reading the stats today. We're still at 100, over 100 new cases a day. Sometimes it's 250, sometimes it's 110, but it's still over 100 new cases a day. We had 10 new deaths today.
Yeah, and that's so, with not even particularly, you know, good testing levels.
Well, right. And see, that's the whole stat thing about this. You know, it's a sampling side. You know, come on. All these people are not being captured in this. And they're playing it close. You know, you're supposed to be conservative because that way you can't go wrong. But you can still go wrong because you're being too conservative.
Well, expressed as a percentage, what is 17,000 out of 1.7 million? Can you do that shit in your
head?
Okay,
let's round up. 17,000. Let's call it 20. Round up. We'll call it 20. Out of how many?
1.7 million.
20,000 out of 1.7 million?
Yeah.
All right. So that's about 2.5%.
Is it that much?
Then somebody can check me on that. Yeah.
Because I guess if it was
1.7 million?
If it was 20,000 out of 2 million. It would be two. It would be.
That would be two.
It would be 1%.
Okay.
How can you hope to get a good statistical model?
Okay.
Testing 2%. How are you going to reopen the economy? How are you going to reopen the economy without antibody testing so ubiquitous that it happens when you walk into Walmart?
Oh, okay. I'm so glad you asked that question. Honest to God, I'm so glad you, because you know, I this is something I'm qualified to speak on because I do have a degree in psychology and I have a whole lot of stats. But and it's, I think in that way sometimes. First of all,
We don't know. Right. We're dealing with unknowns. You know, we're stabbing in the dark because we don't have accurate. We don't have adequate and accurate. Remember, some of these tests aren't even accurate. This is a, once again, this is a, I'm going to stop using this word novel. This is a new virus to mankind, technically, according to all the experts, a new virus to mankind, which means, and now come on, this is fucking serious. That, let me tell you what this means. This means that everyone either get full-blown symptoms and or be a carrier. There's no way around that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
That's the whole point of the definition of a novel virus. That we have, novel means there are no defenses in the human genome for this. Now, right, I don't have a degree in medicine. My degree is in psychology, you know, biopsych when I was in school, and I had to call it neuroscience. So I have a whole lot of biology in the belt. But that's what that means. That's why this shit is scary. People got to take this shit seriously.
Okay.
All you have to do is be in the same airspace as someone.
Sparky is giving me snippets in real time.
Uh-oh. What are you doing?
20 mm-hmm. states may reopen before the 1st of May.
Oh, we're done. Oh, my. Before the 1st of May? That's less than 2 weeks.
Well.
Oh, they're fucked.
Hold on. I mean.
How stupid can you be?
There's a reason that I kind of stopped in medias res to talk about this, because those 20 states will constitute the new Confederacy.
Oh, boy.
South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah.
Oh, boy.
I lost count. And if every responsible state does not close its borders to everybody from those states, this is going to be hell. Oh, and
it's going to be hell.
And since Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice is a big old maggot, he'll probably be first in line.
Yeah.
We got to open our economy to the tourisms.
Oh, you guys are about to get hit. I heard you mention your numbers. Now we had those numbers, they grow exponentially. So,
well, we got another nursing home. When it starts running through the nursing homes, it runs out into the community.
There's so much common sense that's not being used by people. And just let me say this short blurb, and then I want to say what I had to call about, and then I'll let you talk, do whatever you want to do. Not I'll let you, but. All right. I only lived in New York for 3 years, but one thing I learned early on was that people, you take your shoes off when you come in the house. Your house is an apartment usually, but sometimes you have a house, and they go into a cardboard box. Because think about all the stuff on the street that you're walking through. People spit, vomit, and now we got junkies everywhere. It might be walking over needles. Who knows? Take your shoes off. Don't, and people take public transportation, the subway, the bus, trains, all that. Don't sit on your sofa. Don't wear your street clothes in the house. Shed those street clothes. Because this thing is like, imagine a gas. It's like a gas. It's like an oily gas sticking to you. That's what this virus is like.
I think that's a fair analogy.
He's
bragging about slowing oil production now, so that oil prices can go through the roof again.
Okay. This is what I wanted to ask you. This is an observation that it just bothers me. How is it that we have the worst president, arguably, in maybe ever, but in our lifetime, and we have the worst human health disaster in world history at the same time?
How? Because that's the natural progression of things.
Yeah.
When you have been dysfunctional for a certain period of time, dysfunction. When all you have is dysfunction, your results will be dysfunctional too. Okay, that's why he is not. That's why Donald Trump is not the disease. Donald Trump is a great big whopping symptom of it. Okay, you know, if you get amoebic dysentery, you're not thinking about some little critter down in your guts. You're thinking about the fact that you're just shit in a river. Well, he's the river of shit, but he is not the amoeba in our gut. That's the Republican Party. That's conservatism, Todd. That's what comes of generations of worrying about the holy, blessed, sacred free market and the holy, blessed, sacred economy instead of worrying about people. You know, because nobody can get through to him. No people, no economy, dipshit. And see, because of who carries this foolishness, the Fox News Chiron says, President Trump, federal government will watch reopening of states very closely. He's trying to flex his muscles and act like he's got power he doesn't have. But the thing is, what happened in Wisconsin scared the shit out of him. Because the combined total.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, the people who voted for Judge Karofsky, she was getting 800,000 plus. She got 800,000 plus votes. Donald Trump got 600,000 votes in a primary that didn't have anybody but him in it.
Well, I hate to speak.
And so that scared the shit out of him.
He's scared.
And he's
and, got and they're
to
wounded
get
animals. They're going. They're...
Yeah.
He's got to get what?
Well, no, he's got to find out. He's got to find some way. He has to get his maggot rallies going again. That's the bottom line. He's got to start filling gymnasiums and bullshit basketball arenas again. Because the maggots sitting home might not be maggots who come out, because in Wisconsin, they didn't come out. And he is shitting himself because, remember, there is stuff that happens to him if he's not reelected. There are statutes of limitations that will not have run if he doesn't get reelected.
But see, that brings up the other part of what you said, and I totally agree. He is a symptom of the problem, because he wouldn't be where he is if we didn't have this many weirdo, I'm sorry to say it, my fellow Americans that are just, I mean, they're lost.
Well,
they
are
absolutely lost.
Remember back during the reign of error, when the fable of the post turtle was popular. Do you remember that, Todd? You know, you're out somewhere in the far wastes of West Texas, and you see a turtle on top of a fence post.
Yep.
And
you
know the turtle's not supposed to be there, and you know the turtle doesn't know how it got there.
I hadn't thought about that in years.
Well, you know, this is why I get the creeps every time somebody says, well, you know, I saw that speech that Bush gave about the pandemic, and that certainly did seem intense. Yeah, it did. And that's, you know, that's a blind hog finding an acorn now and then. But you don't get Donald Trump without George W. Bush. And you don't get George W. Bush without George H.W. Bush, and you don't get George H.W. Bush without Ronald fucking Reagan. And there have been lots of aiders and abettors along the way. whether it was Newt Gingrich and his contract on America, or any bullshit Republican who wasted time on the Lewinsky affair, or God knows, but her emails and Benghazi.
You know, I would like to see the DNC, who, you know, because now it's going to be Biden, obviously. They need to come out strong, like with a campaign message or a commercial that says, end the coup now. Because we have, in fact, experienced the coup. This guy, this mentally ill person who's malevolent has assembled these people around him that will protect him at any cost. The rich got their 20% tax cut. Permanent, until somebody does something about it. And they're winding down, they might have to pay some money. You know, we're in a world of fucking trouble. And he is an unindicted co-conspirator. And this goes back to what I was trying to bring up with Dr. Bandy Lee. This is, see, he's taking the next step now. Remember, he's a psychopath now. You know, he was just a sociopath.
He graduated.
You know, a narcissistic sociopath, which is, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like if you're a thief, you're a car thief, you're a jewel thief, you're still a thief. You know, but he has so much going on. He's this, you know, like I said before, he's this walking, bubbling cauldron of pathology. It's not just one or two things. And he's learning disabled on top of that. So, but anyway, that's not even, come on. This is absolutely unacceptable. But his followers, they are suffering from a mass delusion. You can present them with this fact, and it's done registered. It's shut
mass,
down.
If it's mass, it's also willful. Okay? They're only deluded because they like being deluded. It goes back to, you know, all the things that we know, all the things that we see in him and call out and point out as flaws in personality. Uh-uh. No. To the maggots, Todd, they are features.
I agree with you 100%. When you say he won't apologize, they say, I don't want him to apologize. I want him to be strong.
Give Trump a chance.
It's strong to admit when you're wrong. They're different type of people. They are a different sort.
They do not share our values. They do not share ordinary human values. See, they go to church every Sunday, and they get told by the preacher that if they vote for a Democrat, then they're going to burn in hell forever because Jesus loves them so much. But he's not going to have any
really
choice.
Say that?
He's not going to have any choice. He's going to have to. Because, you know, if you'd vote for somebody that had killed precious little fetuses, then Jesus ain't going to love you. How many times have we seen it happen?
That.
You know, Bishop saying, I just got done fucking a 9-year-old little boy, but I won't give communion to John Kerry because he isn't against abortion.
Yep. You couldn't get night and day. Yep. You know, that is true. They were about to, they want those justices and they're anti-abortion. And between the two, they'll take whatever. And especially because, you know, that Negro was in there for 8 years. So, you know, it's our turn now. We put up with that. We didn't burn the country down when that Negro was in there.
We survived 8 years of Obama. You can survive 8 years of Trump. It ain't the same thing.
Exactly. Well. Lindsey is scared because Jamie Harrison can give him a run for his money. And Clarence, I bet, knows that. And my other South Carolina neighbors.
David.
You know,
David said Trump will open states with low numbers of infections. However, these states are purposely not testing adequately. The low numbers are, therefore, artificial. And he's right.
You know, He is. And we should not be letting anyone in a nursing home unless they are. We shouldn't have any visitors at all, like, in a nursing home. That's just absolutely insane. Anybody you love that's older, stay away from, love them by staying away from them.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. All right, man. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Thank you for your time. And all I can say is try to make some pork chops while they're still available.
I got some today. And by the way, the manager of the Wiggling Pig came running up to me. He said, "You're not going to believe it. It's either tomorrow or the next day. I think I'm going to have Kaneka."
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Shit just got real.
Mm. Well, we're going to have to hear the stories.
Right. There will be. There will be.
Kaneka is so dense. I mean, you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah,
no, there's no filler.
It's not real terribly greasy. And, man, up here, there's a West Virginia company called Oliverio's, and they're out of Clarksburg. There's an Italian community there. And they make, and they just, mm-hmm. in jars, it's their tomato sauce with sweet and hot peppers and onions.
Mm.
And you heat that up, and you put it on a hoagie roll with the Kaneka, and you then set the sandwich on your griddle, and you put your mozzarella across the top, the shredded mozz, and you put the little dome on it, and you let it melt. Oh, it gets special.
Wow. Oh. All right, time to eat.
There we go. There we go.
Time to annoy the neighbor.
you take care, Todd. It's good talking to you. Stay safe, and I don't care what those fuckers say. Stay home.
There you go. Thanks, Bob.
All right, you take care, Todd. Later. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Some notes during the conversation coming in from John. I hate to agree with Lindsey Graham, Bob, but as an essential worker, I'm not getting anything extra, no hazard pay. Folks on unemployment benefits are getting paid way more than I am while being safe in their homes, which, of course, they absolutely should get that. But no hazard pay for essential workers who are risking our lives? Yeah, I agree. You should get hazard pay. Actually, you should get higher pay than what you get, even when there's not a hazard. That's a function of the mean-spiritedness of this bullshit economy that runs on a notion that Wall Street and hedge funds are more important than people who work in the businesses we now recognize to be essential, as long as we're not talking about the WWE. But Lindsey's little head would explode if he suggested that you fix that disparity by adding $7 to the pay of the essential workers. And by the way, it turned out to be that whole business, it was bullshit. $23 an hour, said Ron in Raleigh. South Carolina unemployment pays $23. In North Carolina, we pay $6.40 per hour. I smell a goddamn lie. And he's right, because South Carolina unemployment benefits... your weekly benefit amount, Lee went and found this as a member of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. Your weekly benefit amount will be approximately 50% of your average weekly wage during your base period, subject to a weekly minimum of $42 and a maximum of $326. Benefits are available for up to 20 weeks. For an estimate of your weekly benefit, see our benefits estimator if it don't crash. I added the if it don't crash part, because it probably does. Kyle also says, seriously, why are so many fucking people worried about how the response to the virus is going to mess up their favorite team's season than fucking people dying from the damn virus? Are we really that soulless of a nation at large? At least a large portion of it? Sigh. Yes, we are. And continues and said, we're all going to fucking die. Oh, my God.
But thank God email lady didn't win, right? Holy fuck.
Barbara, meanwhile, says, if it wasn't for all the innocent people who might acquire it, I'd say let him have the rallies again and let those idiots suffer the consequences of the virus. There won't be enough of them to elect him to office. Dumb assholes. Yeah, I know, Barbara. I know. But the thing is, there's no way to keep them from giving it to decent people. Lindsay is a liar, says Clarence in South Carolina Stan. The maximum payment for unemployment in South Carolina is $326 a week. The info is on the state site. $23 an hour. He dug that figure out of his ass. Oh, did I say that? Yes, you said that. And rightly so. These freaks are on the wrong side of our buddy Silent R. Lamar. Help me, please, Brother Bob. Please, help me. What the fuck? When Obama complained about Bush, the Republicans said, shut the fuck up, Bush is not president. But no sound from them when Trump has been blaming President Obama for 3 years today. Please, talk to me. How fucking dumb do they think we are? It's not how dumb they think we are. It's how dumb they know the maggots are, Lamar. And that is the metric that matters to them. In Australia, Robert reports, here in New South Wales, there's now an $11,000 on-the-spot fine for breaking social distancing laws and possible 6 months in jail. And it's a $5,000 fine for spitting on frontline workers. It's gone up from $5,000 because there are still far too many idiots out there who don't seem to think they have to obey the law. Police hand out $45,000 in fines across New South Wales in a single day. 13 businesses flouting social distancing laws and all had been slugged with $5,000 fines. P.S. Watching Trump. It's sickening watching what I assume are decent people having, I assume, to suck up to this turd before they make their announcements. He's like a mad emperor. He's not like one, Robert. That's what I keep trying to get across. He is one. He is mad. Barking mad. Call the Praetorian cohort mad. And he is the only person in the United States who is immune to having his mental health examined and dealt with. Jesus God. By the way, thanks again. Thanks again ever so kindly to Stephen for the Have a Show on Me this evening, and thanks to our anonymous friend for the Have a Show on Me yesterday when we couldn't have a show at all. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Go ahead and send the hate mail. He's taking questions now, so the meltdown is imminent. And I'm going to catch a little of the audio. Stand by. Get the hockey puck if you have to.
With China, where China's supposed to be spending $250 billion in our country, we're going to be watching very much to see. Now, we've got a little bit waylaid by the virus. But look, I'd love to have a good relationship with China. But if you look, and we made a phenomenal deal. China has paid, because of me, China has paid us tens of billions of dollars over the course of a very short period of time. Billions of it. Some of that money has been spent to farmers where they were targeted by China.
That's a lie, too.
We cannot let that happen. We can't let that happen. So we ended up signing a very good trade deal. Now I want to see if China lives up to it. I know President Xi. I think he will live up to it. If he doesn't live up to it, that will be okay, too, because we have very, very good alternatives. Go ahead.
Mr. President.
Thank you. Today, 600,000 cases, 25,000 deaths. I know you want to blame the WHO, but I've spoken to hundreds of people across the country in the last few weeks who say they still can't get tested and that they aren't social distancing because
so
they
the governors, Excuse me. I know your question. You ready? The governors are supposed to do testing. It's up to the governors. Go ahead, please.
Mr. President, they are not social distancing.
The governors are doing the testing. It's now not up, and it hasn't been up to the federal government. Go ahead.
Mr. President, I have a quick follow on the WHO,
I told them when they put this guy here, it's nothing but trouble. He's a showboat. If you keep talking, I'll leave, and you can have it out with the rest of these people.
If you keep
talking, I'm going to leave, and you can have it out with them.
It's a simple question.
Just a loudmouth. Go ahead.
If you could...
kind of clarify, are you basically lifting your slow the spread before the May 1 deadline?
No, and then, not at all.
And then how many
states? The governors are going to be running their individual states. Some of them will say, no, I can't open now. And some of them may last longer than we even would think. Others will say, I can. You can go. I don't want to mention states, but there are numerous states that are in great shape right now. They're viewing the rest of the country like, we don't even believe this is happening. We have a lot of those states. They're set to open practically now. I mean, they would be open now. We're going to let them open sooner than the date. We're going to pick a date. We're going to get a date that's good. But it's going to be very, very soon, sooner than the end of the month. But there are many states out there that are looking at this and they're reviewing it and they're saying, we shouldn't be even included in this. You know, there are some that want to open up almost now. Now, if we disagree with it, we're not going to let them open. If some governor said, you know, has a lot of problems, a lot of cases, a lot of death, and they want to open early, we're not going to let it happen. So we're there to watch. We're there to help.
He's trying to be a dictator. He's trying to assume powers that he does not have.
States to do the testing. We're now providing great testing, but the state has to provide the great testing. The state has to provide the ventilators, but they didn't do that. So we ended up going into the ventilator business, essentially, and we've made tens of thousands of ventilators, and we solved a big problem for the states. But we want them to do the testing, and we are there to help. Yeah, please.
I have a question on the governor's, but first can I follow up on Jordan's question? Do you want to walk back where you did praise China in January for being transparent about the
I'm always respectful of China. I'm respectful of other countries.
Jesus,
why wouldn't I be respectful of China? In the meantime, China's paid.
She needs to pick up where the guy he shut down left off and say, what do you want people to do about social distancing?
They paid us tens of billions of dollars because of what we've done. And the trade deal we have, they have to give us $250 billion in purchases. Let's see if they do that. And they're also paying us 25% or $250 billion in tariffs. So we're taking in, wait a minute, we're taking in billions of dollars for China from China. They never paid us 10 cents. That's a great thing. Now,
there's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road.
We will find out exactly what went on. And we may be satisfied that it can be remedied. And we may be satisfied that it's so bad that it can't be remedied. And if it can't, we're going to go a different route.
Question. You're criticizing the WHO for praising China for being transparent, but you also praise China for being transparent.
I don't talk about China's transparency. If I'm so good to China, how come I was the only person, the only leader of a country that closed our borders tightly against China? And by the way, when I closed our border, that was long ahead of what anybody, you can ask anybody that was in the room, 21 people. I was the one person that wanted to do it.
Nope.
Deborah can tell you that better than anybody. I was the one person that wanted to do it. You know why? Because I don't believe everything I hear.
4 years undergrad.
And I closed. And if we didn't close our border early, very early, long before the kind of dates you're talking about, we would have had thousands and probably hundreds of thousands more deaths. Please.
I'm talking about how
please, that's enough. Thank you.
Last week you said that you would have data in the coming days about the coronavirus' disproportionate impact on black Americans.
Yes, that's being worked on very strongly.
When will we have that?
I would say within 2 weeks, and it's being worked on, Deborah. We're working on that very strongly.
CDC.
Okay, CDC is working, but we're getting reports on that. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Mr. President, you're talking about reopening parts of the country by the end of the month, and if you do that, and as a result, you see a spike in cases in those areas.
We may not, but we may not. You know, some countries have and some countries haven't. I'm watching other countries. I'm studying other countries as they open. I mean, I don't want to go into names because for some it would be a little bit embarrassing. But I'm studying other countries as we go along. So on that, we have looked at every country that's opened, some successfully, some okay. No total disaster, but some okay. And some have to go back to the hot spot and fix the hot spot. We think we're going to do it very successfully. Again, we have one country, but we have lots of different pieces. It's a puzzle. We have beautiful pieces, beautiful states with capable governors. They know when it's time to open.
None of whom
and
are
we
Democrats,
don't want to put pressure on anybody. I'm not going to put any pressure on any governor to open. I'm not going to say to governor.
He doesn't have the constitutional right to put any pressures on any governments.
It's time. Do it right and then open New York. I'm not putting any pressure on the governors. Some of them don't need pressure or not pressure. I mean, they're ready to go.
I'm right.
And
I'm right.
A good thing. So we'll
the plan is to open the Confederacy to make war,
please, go ahead.
Biological war, on blue states.
Cuomo. Just wondering if you have any thoughts on some of his remarks from earlier today, where he basically said that were New York to be pressured to be open, it would cause a constitutional crisis. And he basically said
you
that you
spell it,
declared yourself King Trump. So I'm wondering if you've heard those
I've
thoughts.
Yeah, I've declared myself as King. You know, I heard he said that, but I didn't see the remarks. But he understands how we helped him. He needed help. We gave him 2,900 hospital beds. He didn't use them. We gave him a ship. He didn't use them. And I'm not saying, but I'm saying that's good because you know what? That means he didn't need them. But we said it was too much, but we wanted to err. We said, err on the side of caution, as I said. We said, look, we don't think you need it, but if you do, we're going to have them built. And the Army Corps of Engineers did a fantastic job. And the U.S. Navy did a fantastic job. And we moved.
I'm just curious, just off camera. Where you can't see, is there like a giant vat of rot gut tequila for the press corps just to go and you know drink a pint after putting up with this madness?
In states that may reopen, that are fearful about going back to work for fear of getting sick.
Talk up, please, louder.
What's your assurance to workers who are asked to go back to work but are fearful of doing so?
Well, that's going to be up to the governors. The governors are going to want to make sure everything's safe. Now, I think that companies can do testing on a maybe weekly basis. You don't have to do it every day with the same worker. But they can do testing. They can do temperature gauges. They can do a lot of different things. And, you know, we're only talking about for a period of time. You know, eventually we want to get back to where we were. We want people actually sitting next to each other in ball games eventually.
Again,
you know,
with the
ball
games.
We're not going to rip out every other seat in baseball stadiums and football stadiums. We want to go back to where we were. I want people to understand that. We're not going to be like the way you are. We have 300 reporters in the back that want to sit. Look at this, the way this looks. I don't even like the way it looks, although I have a lot fewer reporters. That's okay with me. But look at the way this looks. I've never seen anything, John. I've never seen anything quite like it. But there are a lot of people. We don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. Eventually, we're going back where restaurants that had 150 seats are going to have 150 seats, not 50 seats, because they can't make it at 50 seats. But more importantly, the atmosphere is even better. We have to get used to it.
And that pile
we have to get used to it. I don't know that people
building.
Are going to be shaking hands as readily. Some will.
Clubs.
I said to some of the hospital people today, so will people be shaking hands again? And I must say, I was a little surprised. Most of them said probably, because there is some kind of a thing to it. I was never a big handshaker, but when I ran for politics, I said, I think I better start shaking people's hands. Go ahead, John.
Mr. President, a couple of financial questions, if I could.
Good financial
Larry
questions.
Larry Kudlow said this morning that at the current run rate, the paycheck protection money will run out very soon. The plan to re-up it is stalled in Congress. What can you do as president to try to move that forward?
Well, we're trying to get it done. The problem is the Democrats want to put all sorts of things. Last time they put Kennedy Center in. I hated putting Kennedy Center in. I have great respect for Kennedy Center. But I hated putting it in the bill because it's just not appropriate.
They don't have a power bill.
Right? But they wanted it in for whatever reason. They had their own political reason. And, John, I said, watch the way that blows up, and it blew up. I think it blew up in their face. We want to take care of our workers. We'll worry about other things
and
other pet projects of Democrats and also Republicans later. But it's been a tremendously successful program. I think you see it. The banks have stepped up. Hundreds of thousands of loan applications approved. Money is going out. It's been a tremendous program. Really, it's been. And obviously, it was at a point where we're almost the money will be expired. And we could use
this is the show that never ends, and it goes on and on. Amen. He is mad, mad, mad. I tell you, mad.
Of six criteria for reopening the economy there. Did he consult with you on that? And also,
You said earlier that there were as many as 20 states that could reopen their economies as early as May 1st. Could you list some of
them? No, I didn't say all of them by May 1st, but there are 20 states. Actually, I was given a number. 29 states are in very, very good shape. I don't want to say whether or not the governor spoke with me about that, but we've had a very good relationship, Gavin Newsom, and very, very good relationship. Yeah, in the back. Go ahead, please.
President, thank you very much. I have two questions. One is from a
one question.
But a person who can't be here, and so
who cares? If you can't be here, that's too bad, you know, right?
All right. Well, one question that I have is about the, from the United Nations, an economist, Maximo Torraro, says that there's a danger that the food supply could be interrupted during this pandemic. And I wanted to know what you're going to do about
that.
Well,
I think our farmers are incredible. They're producing levels of food like just unbelievable. Our transportation, that's one of the reasons I have the transportation people on the line tomorrow for the delivery of the food. No, we're doing phenomenally with the food. And I will say the stores, Kroger and Walmart, which does a lot of the food, and many of the stores, they seem to be in very good shape, but I haven't heard that at all. We're going to be very strong on food supply. Okay, how about one more question?
Go ahead, please. Yes, the death projections that you mentioned earlier are based on full social distancing until the end of May. So are based on full social distancing until the end of May. So if you ease up on these guidelines now, how many more Americans do you think are going to die?
Well, I'm not easing up. First of all, we'll have guidelines, even for the states that open.
Easing up, schmeezing up. Go the fuck away. Could we maybe send some of these reporters, get them a, you know, get them a one-week seminar on constitutional law? Note coming in from Lady B. I have no problem with the rich getting access to the test. After all, that's one of the advantages that having a lot of money provides. The problem with this, though, is that those people aren't considered essential workers. The people who do the essential jobs, more commonly referred to as shit jobs, are the ones who desperately need the testing and the PPE so they can keep the lines healthy and food commerce going. Somebody at Springs Utilities, we don't know who or which building, tested positive for COVID. Who knows how many people that man, and I do mean man because mostly it's men that are working right now, spread the virus to. And these guys are notorious for not liking to wear masks and gloves if they don't absolutely have to. What happens when half of your utilities crew is unable to work? I'll add parenthetically, earlier today I heard there are 27 members of the NYPD dead. Imagine. Well, you don't have to imagine. 9/11, with the losses of the FDNY and the NYPD, we were shell-shocked. If some maggot with a gun mowed down 27 members of the NYPD, you wouldn't be able to get a news story in edgewise. The plant in South Dakota, the Smithfield Pork plant, owned by China, by the way, and has been for some several years, shut down because so many people were sick because they had to work right on top of each other. And so when Lady B says, what happens when half of your utilities crew is unable to work? We kind of got a little taste of that over the weekend, didn't we? We were out of power for a lot of hours. But we're kind of used to it because we are customers of Appalachian Power, and, well, their power grid's not exactly reliable. Angelo pointed out that the problems that West Virginia has with its power grid is roughly comparable to that of Nigeria. So that tells you something.
Lady B continues, because I editorialized. I noticed the other day that the water plant had a cot and some blankets set aside in one of the offices. They're preparing for the chance that should shit get really bad, some guys may not be able to go home. That should give you shivers. Whether we take it seriously or not, this shit is serious. And this shit does not care whether we take it seriously or not. It will be as serious as it is. And although it is upsetting to keep being reminded of that, it's something you should keep in mind every time you think you have to run into the store and get something right quick. No, there's no such thing as right quick anymore, is there? There isn't a rich man sitting at home today that is essential personnel. They may own the factories, but they aren't working the lines. They're not slaughtering the protein. No, and Lady B put protein in quotes because that's become a linguistic tick on restaurant menus and cookbooks and cooking shows and news articles. We don't call meat meat anymore. We call it protein. They aren't repairing downed electrical lines. They are not driving the produce trucks, and they damn sure ain't picking the produce. Yet they're the only ones with access to testing. And for what? So they can safely quarantine in their 10,000-square-foot homes? Fam, we need to wake the fuck up. The rich are doing nothing to help us. Or at least not enough. This recovery has to be massive. Taxes will rise, but let's start with the ones who can afford to pay more than they have been. If we don't help the folks in the shit jobs, this country will collapse. Do your part. Stay the fuck home if you're not needed. Us essential personnel's lives are counting on it. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Darlene in Connecticut says, why doesn't one of these fucking reporters simply shout out, liar? Funny how the pandemic is resurrecting the Doors. I keep hearing their songs. Nice job, Bob. Well, thank you, Darlene. Spoke the other day to my neighbor who is at high risk for COVID-19 as an older gent who's a cancer and stroke survivor. He told me he is working again and is no longer in the most hazardous job due to the virus. He is a logger. By the way, he informed me that Hermione the Hemlock, remember Darlene told us about Hermione the Hemlock, is actually a spruce, like Bruce the Spruce. That kind of blew my mind. And he mentioned something about how trees are hybrids. He was quite amused that I actually named the trees on my property. He did confirm that Bruce is leaning towards the house and asked how old the house is and said, well, if it's been standing that long, then don't worry about it. And as long as I don't sleep in a room under it, then I'm okay. Bruce has never been a problem, Bruce the Spruce. I've really been hanging on to the symbolic stability of the trees on my property of late. They seem so impenetrable and larger than life. Darlene sends along a photo. Here is Royals, my blue spruce. She's truly gorgeous and anchors me every day. As strange as that sounds. But maybe that isn't all that strange. In my book, it's not strange even a little bit. I get the same kind of sensations. And I found out something fascinating. This time of year is, well, what did Shakespeare say? That time of year thou mayst in me behold, whatever. But this is the time of year when the red buds erupt. And they can be found from Ontario to Tennessee, Alabama. And they are the most glorious thing of this time of year. Because in the midst of everything else that hasn't quite greened up yet, this vivid eruption of purplish pink on trees that you would otherwise think to be kind of scrawny and scrubby,
but they erupt in these pink blossoms all along their branches before the leaves come on. And they're so outrageous. I mean, it's the color is shocking pink. It's pink like you didn't know pink could be pink. And you can't, and I don't know why they're red buds and not pink buds, but they're pink. Maybe kind of on the way to mauve. And you start taking notice of them around here about this time of year, and you go, holy shit. Now, they were already in full riot when I happened to be down North Carolina way a couple of weeks back going to get Ferg. But here, now, there's pink everywhere you turn. And it's the kind of color that makes you think, you know, when you need color, that's the color you need. This time of year, that is my favorite color. And thanks to a friend of mine, a guy named Dave Cybre, I found out something the other day about red buds. Two things, actually. One, where red buds grow wild, you know you have rich soil because they require it. And so people moving into this area to begin farmsteads would look where the red buds were and go plant there. And the other part of it, and I'm eager about this, I think I can do this without violating social distancing. The blossoms of the red bud are edible. Deliciously so. And in this part of the country, the two things people tend to do with them are to make tea of them and make jelly of them. Not very good at the whole jelly thing, but I'm gonna collect some blossoms, rinse them a little bit, and make some red bud tea. Because I'm just curious as hell what it tastes like. And the other thing that was mentioned is that the wood, dried, was used as a seasoning wood for smoking meat. And that's right in my wheelhouse. See what happens when you get me going on trees, Darlene? Smithfield, Flavio writes, the company told workers to stay home if they're sick and that they wouldn't be penalized. Then they also offered a $500 bonus for workers who didn't miss work. Let's not forget that detail, please. I didn't. I mentioned it. Because it put the $500 bonus, put it at cross purposes with stay home if you're sick. That's true. Sparky reminding me. There were no school shootings in March, Bob. For the first time since 2004. Funny how a government of the size and power of ours couldn't stop that, but a particle 1/100th the diameter of a human hair could. A little bit of time left in the program. If you'd like to engage in some conversation, you're mighty welcome to. Just Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Gets you right in. And then, of course, there's also the stress line. Somebody called on the stress line earlier, but the phone wasn't cooperating, but it looks like it's connected now. That, of course, 844-843-4676, 844-the-horn.
James in Illinois, reminding us he stole masks, meaning Trump. Big help. Well, it is who he is. And a couple of little stories that just sort of crawled all over me earlier. Bill Barr's Department of Justice has decided to take a position in a case in which it is not a party. In Mississippi, Greenville, Mississippi, the members of the Temple Baptist Church in Greenville held a drive-in church service, and then they refused to disperse and put people at great hazard of the disease in a place that is poorly equipped to deal with it. And so the churchgoers were fined $500 for refusing to stop congregating in the parking lot for violating a public safety order. Now, that's between the state of Mississippi, the county that Greenville's in, maybe the Greenville municipality, and the scofflaws. At no point in time will there be anything captioned "the people of the United States versus," or "anybody versus the people of the United States." The Justice Department does not have a dog in this hunt. But Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr has decided to intervene. Fox News got hold of a statement of interest in which Attorney General Pepe the Frog's DOJ said, "Well, the U.S. regularly files statements of interest on important issues of religious liberty in courts at every level, from trial courts to the Supreme Court of the United States. Attorney General Pepe the Frog has issued comprehensive guidance interpreting religious liberty protections. This case raises issues of national public importance regarding the interplay between the government's compelling interest in protecting public health and safety from COVID-19 and citizens' fundamental right to free exercise of religion and spreading of the disease." Oh, I added the "and spreading of the disease" part. "The allegations in this complaint strongly suggest that the city's prohibition of drive-in church services," which they didn't, they held the drive-in church services, it was the refusal to disperse that caused the problem, "despite the inclusion of measures to reduce the risk, such as requiring people to remain in their cars, are neither neutral nor generally applicable." The churches were singled out, and the same thing was not imposed on other entities the state has designated as essential services. Well, there's a question to be raised as to whether a church is an essential service when you consider that their own theology says that their God is everywhere all at once. So, and their own avatar, Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, said, "Behold, wherever two of you are gathered together," not 2,000, and also noted, "if you have something to say to the Father, go in the closet and say it, and go out, get out and go about your business, and don't be praying loudly in the streets or the parking lots, as the Pharisees do, for they are hypocrites, and they have their rewards." Pretty safe to say that there were no closets in that parking lot, but there would have been plenty of them in the homes of the members of the church. So Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr has decided to be another vector of the disease. And you can bet your ass that Mississippi will be one of the first states to open, because it was one of the last states to close.
And when the disease gets loose in Sister Fister County, Mississippi, they won't have the healthcare infrastructure to deal with it, and people will simply die in their homes, because that's something we still have to sort out. In hospitals in New York, they're literally stacking human bodies like cordwood. Let that sink in. And there are places where we have not gone in to find the bodies in the homes. It feels more and more like the South wants to wage biological warfare on the so-called blue states. You know, revenge. And I can only hope that the responsible governors are prepared to stop everyone from those states from crossing their borders. Because otherwise, whatever we have experienced so far will be a day at the beach. Thank you for jumping in, Jude. Thank you very kindly. Jude in the Great Northwest helping out. Thank you. Stay safe, Jude. Stay safe. All right, over to the stress line. Oh, wrong button. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Dave in the Blind.
Hey, Dave. What's up, man?
Well, that was me that called earlier. You said somebody called. I called earlier and it got cut off.
Yeah, it wouldn't connect. I don't know why. Sometimes it does that.
Yeah, that's okay. I was reading my Facebook feed and my dad was talking about something my grandmother used to do on Good Friday. She'd light a candle between noon and three and pray. And so Dad was talking about doing that this time until the president came on the television. My thought was, well, his God Emperor is talking, so he must listen. But I have a new name for the God Emperor.
Yes?
Antonius Pius.
I'm sorry?
Antonius Pius. Antonius Pius, one of the good emperors.
Antoninus Penis.
Well, yeah. You know, I guess it could be mispronounced that way. But I thought I don't want to besmirch the emperor's good name. Trump. Because he was obviously a figure who tried to bother a lot of people. He just did his work and didn't go after a lot of people. So,
well, I could never sort out that whole. I could never sort out the math on that. If Easter, if he was in the tomb for 3 days, right? One is two, and two and one is three. And
right.
Good Friday is supposedly
well,
the
day. I refuse.
Good Friday is the day he, I mean, and because it's a hot, like all Christian theology, it's a hot mess. But if, you know, the reason your mom was lighting that candle between noon and three is because that's when he was hanging there on the cross saying, Peter, Peter, yes, Lord, I can see your house from here. No.
Yeah.
That means Friday to Saturday, Bob? Saturday to Sunday. That's only 2 days. So Good Friday should Good Friday should actually happen on like Thursday. But what fun would that be? Huh. It was still connected that time. Dave must have just kind of disappeared there. But I can't make the math work. Oh, well.
Let's see. Are you there, Dave? Yeah, oddly enough, it didn't drop.
It didn't drop on my end this time. Well, I looked at mine, and it wasn't showing anything, so something strange is going on. Agent Fred must be working overtime.
Well, he must be baffled by the math, too.
Well, I mean, come on. He is an agent. He's not a mathematician. My grandmother started that, and my mom picked it up, and dad still does it to this day. But I found it ironic that he would cut short his prayers so that he could listen to the babblings of Donald Trump.
Well, that's because that's the word of God.
Well, he is the chosen one, according to Dad. So.
Well, and according to him too.
Yeah, I happened to mention to my brother that there is a precedent for having a sex offender in the White House.
Oh, he must have loved that.
He thought I was talking about Trump. Well, he thought that I was talking about Trump, and I said, no, Warren G. Harding.
Thomas Jefferson.
Harding evidently got...
Thomas Jefferson.
Well, yeah, Thomas Jefferson, the rapist, yes. But Harding evidently got his personal secretary pregnant in a walk-in closet off the Oval Office.
I seem to recall us talking a little bit about, I don't mean you and me, but I seem to recall there being some conversation about that back in the late 90s when nobody got pregnant.
Well, maybe that explains why there's this big spot of no birth announcement for 10 years. But my dad's birthday is a week after mine, so my sister's got a lot of things planned for, like, a midnight sing-along. He's going to be 75 this year.
Oh, happy birthday to your dad.
I turned 55 last Wednesday and went to turn in the podcast on the prayer meeting, and, well, no prayer meeting.
Yeah, it's been a weird couple of weeks. This is not... This
when are you guys going to get your weather straightened out?
Oh, it's not the weather. It's Frontier and Appalachian Power. I mean, it's the same weather, kind of. But, yeah, April...
Well,
right now, it just feels like spring has been canceled for lack of interest.
But the red buds are coming in anyway.
And they are exquisite.
Oh, I remember as a kid, you'd wait for the first robins to show up.
Like, the robins start... Well, the robins don't really go away, Dave. Robins aren't migratory.
Right, I know, but... I know, but you see them out more...
Yeah, well, they change in the winter. They tend to change their diet. They eat more like berries and stuff. And then come spring, they come out because the ground's softened up enough that they can get some protein, otherwise known as worms.
Worms. Yeah. Yeah. Fishermen around here have to fight with them just to get the right bait. But, that's what's going on. But I have a little bit of food porn for you, Bob.
Yeah?
A guy who lives here in my building makes what he calls a crazy shake.
It's got strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, and one banana with the ice cream and the milk, and he blends it all together, and it makes the best cake you ever had in your life.
That sounds fantastic.
I mean, it's just the regular fruit, none of the jams or anything like that.
No, but you got to have a good ice cream.
You got to have like a good vanilla ice cream, and usually something like whole milk. Skim milk doesn't really work well with that.
That Fairlife milk, the whole milk Fairlife would be really good for that.
But
Does Bluebell come that far north?
Yes.
Because they're homemade.
Bluebell's all over the state of Indiana.
That's not all over West Virginia. Bluebell's homemade vanilla is magic.
Do you need somebody to send you a care package, Bob?
I don't think it would make the trip.
Yeah, if you pack it right with a little bit of dry ice, it would.
I can't imagine, but. No, it'll just be a treat that I save for myself for next time I get south again. While I was down in Alabama, while I was down there, you know, they make the little single cups like you give to a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got a stack of those. It was a stack of their Dutch chocolate and a stack of their homemade vanilla. And every night, a little before bed, have one of those. Perfect.
It gave you just enough to let you go to sleep.
Well, just enough to let me know I'd had something good.
Right. So you could relax. And
see, what's funny to me is that it's... What's funny to me, Dave, is that it's so good, and yet it's one of those ice creams that's made with guar gum and locust bean gum and carrageenan, and they're natural. It's so cyanide.
All the naturally artificial stuff that you really shouldn't put in ice cream.
But I don't care. That's one of those brands where don't care. Just don't care. It's that good.
Yeah, Bluebell's in Indiana. Blue Bunny is also in Indiana.
Yeah, we get Blue Bunny here. I'm not impressed.
But I tell you, I'm a big Edie's fan.
Well, I was a devotee of Breyers for a very long time until they were acquired by the wrong hedge fund. And after that, they started messing with the ingredients and the locust bean gum and the carrageenan and the shit showed up. And so I just moved over to Häagen-Dazs because it's milk, cream, eggs, and sugar. Since I can't get Blue Bell.
It's basically a custard.
It's an ice cream. It's not a frozen
custard. With egg in it?
Yeah, that's a French vanilla. That's what makes French vanilla, French vanilla.
That sounds more like a custard.
Nah, it's not. You know, you Midwesterners get that way. Oh, is it a custard or an ice cream? Yeah. Because I know it like Culver's. It's a custard.
Yes, it is a custard.
Yeah, no Culver's here either.
I did try. What was the place you were talking about? I went to Culver's and got their banana split.
I can't imagine you could go wrong doing that.
I was a happy camper, Bob. I haven't tried their sandwiches, but their ice cream is top notch.
Oh, I could live on their cheese curds. Instead of fries, get a butter burger and cheese curds, and you're there. You've arrived.
Really? Well, the next time I'm out there with Christine, I will.
It's very good. And their fish sandwich is quite good, too.
Yeah. Chris isn't delivering pizza anymore. She's back working at Kroger's.
I'm not sure if that's out of the frying pan and into the fire, but hopefully maybe it's a little more protection.
Well, the manager that was there when she left, the general manager, fired the guy that she was having a problem with.
Ah.
because he was losing the company, valuable employee, like this. And he told Chris, if you want to come back, let me know. And she did, and she's now working 20 hours a week and making more than she was working 30 at Pizza Hut. And she's protected by the union.
That's the part. Well, Dave, you have yourself a good evening, and a happy birthday to your dad. Glad we got the call reestablished, and you'll have to let me know. Let me know how Culver's works out for you, because it's mighty good.
I will.
All right, you take care, Dave. Later. Dave, calling from the blind in Taliban, Indiana. Todd and I were talking about vaccines a little bit ago. And that that issue, they're already started on that. Oh, thank you, Arnold and PA. Culver's is fucking amazing. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. That's why we don't have one here. We're not allowed to have amazing things here. I'm complaining, but I'm not complaining. The anti-vax rhetoric is cranking up. I had no idea, and for God's sakes, it's a right-wing piece of shit, so don't go looking for it. You remember Joe Piscopo, who had a brief moment of fame on Saturday Night Live? He turned into a right-wing jackass. And so for yesterday, when with that program, somebody there thought, hey, here's a great idea. Let's have a conversation with Roger Stone. How's Roger Stone? Did I miss a pardon somewhere? And so on the program, and well, Bill Gates is a public figure, so there's not much he can do about it, I guess, but Roger Stone said, whether Bill Gates played some role in the creation and spread of this virus is open for vigorous debate. No, it isn't. Anybody who would suggest that should probably have a pretty intensive battery of psychological testing done. I have conservative friends who say it's ridiculous, and others say absolutely. This, too, is bullshit because Roger Stone has no friends. He and other globalists are using it for mandatory vaccinations and microchipping people so we know if they've been tested. Over my dead body! Your offer is accepted. Mandatory vaccinations? No way, Jose! Oh, God. We're going to get a vaccine, and we're not going to get herd immunity out of it because of the Roger Stones of the world. If we get a vaccine that works. And there'll be more like this. More 5G towers have been set ablaze in the UK and Europe and Ireland. In many instances, with people on the front lines of this thing, the essential workers who are putting their lives at risk, we're seeing uncompensated and deeply underappreciated heroism. And in other quarters, we are seeing rank, hopeless stupidity. Which means, of course, that we have to talk about Miami. Sorry, Jerry. Miami-Dade cop busted a black guy. He was outside his home when the cop rolled up and put him in cuffs. He was trying to put things in his van, the black guy was.
and the cop rolled up and roughed him and cuffed him and arrested him. Curiously, it was all caught on video. The cop thought that he was trying to illegally dispose of garbage. Oops. Miami Chief of Police Jorge Colina said that there's going to be a full investigation of the arrest because he wasn't some random black guy, as if that would make a difference. He was actually Dr. Armin Henderson. And he was putting medical supplies into his van and setting some other things outside the van to sort of Tetris it all together. And the cop rolls up and says, and Dr. Henderson said, and he just said, are you littering over here? Do you live here? Do you work here? And I was like, yes, I live here. This is where we put our bulky trash, and the city comes to pick it up every week at the same place. I'm like, okay, thank you, officer. And then I turned around to get back to what I was doing. I guess he must have thought that I disrespected him or something like that. He jumped out of the car and started yelling, you call me sergeant when I'm talking to you, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Give me your ID. He was on his way to Miami to provide support to a local homeless outreach group. We've been out there once or twice a week for the last 4 weeks, handing out tents, toiletries, masks, socks. We've been testing individuals for COVID-19 because it's the most vulnerable population. If you want to control the spread, you have to go right into the source and take care of these individuals first. They're not sure if there was any racial motivation in the incident. Well, sadly, the Trump pandemic hasn't changed some things in America. So, hey, but at least made it to air this evening, right? And back for tomorrow for prayer meeting Wednesday. Or the shit show, or who knows what. Oh, wow, okay. Brother Deacon Asa says, if you feel strongly about this at all, the business of Roger Stone saying Bill Gates is trying to microchip us all. I guess that makes Bill Gates the Antichrist. Go read the comment thread on any of Bill Gates' tweets. You know how you say don't read the comments? This is that times 1,000. Neck deep in stupid. Precious bodily fluids. Yeah. So thank you again to Stephen for the have a show on me. Thanks to Jude for jumping in and helping. Thank you so much. Thank you to each and every one of you who keeps the program on the air. Thank you. Thank you to our subscribers both at PayPal and Patreon, and thanks to our a la carte contributors, and some people do all three. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear your masks, remain socially distant. Later, y'all.